Greetings, Instro Surf Rock fans. I'm Lady Reverb, and this is Surf Guitar 101's podcast Lucky Number 7. In this show, I'll be taking you on a journey into the deepest reaches of outer space. And from somewhere in the galaxy, we'll also be transmitting the second half of the interview that was conducted with legendary surf guitarist John Blair. Additionally, I'll also be playing a couple of space-themed tracks from some brand new music. One from the Surfites out of Stockholm, Sweden, and another from Austin, Texas band The Thunder Chiefs. So, to fire up this space podcast, I thought I'd start off with one of my current favorite bands, El Rey, doing the amazing Space Car 2001.
We'll be right back.
That was Outer Orbit from the amazing SoCal band The Huntington Cads. Starting things off was Space Car 2001 by Danish band El Rey. After that, we heard Nebula One from Boston area band The Nebulas. And that was followed by Space Race from classic first wave surf band Gene and the Esquires. Next up is Terror in Space by the Metalunas.
That's a peculiar transmission sound. That sounds like something. See if I can work the selector.
The moon is in phase.
Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I tried to return. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, do you hear me?
Oh, I get you now. Thank God. Not much time. They're on to me. They've located my sending point. Do you hear me?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I've only enough oxygen for a few minutes more.
Well, where are you?
I'm on the Earth side of the moon. Did you get that? The Earth side of the moon. A volcanic crater.
Start that recorder, Mr. Wade. Go on. Explain, please. Explain, please.
Listen closely. There is an Earth colony on the far side of the moon, made up of renegade scientists and criminals. Turned his plans over to escape inmates of the asylum. They took off and set up a colony on the far side of the moon in 1938.
Go ahead, we're recording you.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Okay, Space Comrades, we started off that set with Vancouver band The Metalunas and their song Terror in Space, followed by Space Echoid from fabulous German band The Kilauea's. After that, we heard an awesome song, Scorpio 6 by Satan's Pilgrims. That was from their album Creature Feature. And finally, we heard a song off the Rare Surf Volume 2 compilation. That was classic Orange County band The Nocturnes playing Third Star to the Left. Now it's time to resume the interview with John Blair, which we brought you the first half of in the last podcast. This was conducted courtesy of Warren Binder, who many Surf Guitar 101 regulars know as Captain Springfield. Please stay tuned.
This is Warren Binder with SurfGuitar101.com. I'm here at the Huntington Beach International Surfing Museum with John Blair, surf music historian, author, and guitarist, just John and the Night Riders. Actually, going back to something you said earlier about the first John and the Night Riders single, was that the first original you wrote when you recorded for that? Or had you written songs back in the 60s?
No, that was actually the first original. First surf instrumental first surf instrumental that I had ever written. It was Rumble at Waikiki.
Is there a particular cover of a John and the Night Riders song you've heard that's really stood out for you?
Ooh. You know, interestingly, there have been several covers of John and the Night Riders tunes, and they're all pretty good, actually. I can't really offhand come up with one that stands out immediately. But to be covered, period, by anyone is an honor, and I've always enjoyed hearing myself covered. Hearing a John and the Night Riders song covered, and there have been a few, but they've all been good.
Do you tend to prefer a traditional or a more progressive approach to modern surf music?
I guess if I had to make a decision, it would be a more trad approach. My tastes tend toward that, but at the same time, there are some progressive approaches to surf music that have popped up in the last few years by some bands that really impress me. The Madeira, for one, they're not what I would call a traditional surf band at all, but from a progressive standpoint, they're excellent. Slack Tone is great. The Mermen are incredible. So I enjoy all these bands as well as I do the trad, but my preference would probably be traditional.
Are there modern traditional bands you really enjoy?
Boy, there's only really a handful. The only one that really comes to mind immediately is a band that isn't really together anymore, and that's the Torquays from here in Southern California. I don't think you can get more traditional than the Torquays.
Do you tend to keep up with the current releases?
You know, I did up to a point a few years ago, but it really got to the point where there were so many bands releasing so much product that it was very difficult to keep track of them all. So lately, no, I haven't been able to keep up with everything that's coming out. Used to. But I guess that's to the credit of surf music in a way, that it's become so popular that it's hard to keep up with everybody now. There's so many out there.
Do you see this as sort of a mini resurgence, maybe not on par with the second wave or the third wave?
Don't know if it's so much a resurgence because ever since Pulp Fiction in '94, it really hasn't stopped. There hasn't been any points where surf bands have gone away. They've just been there. They've been present. I think it's just growing. So more than a resurgence, it's a growing trend. I just see it growing. Still at a grassroots level, but growing.
Do you see that continuing, or do you see it maybe starting to plateau?
No, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know if it's really plateaued. I keep hearing about new bands, so in that sense, I have to say that it keeps growing. But I don't know how many existing bands are giving up the ghost either. So it might be plateauing. There might be existing bands that are just quitting and fading off into obscurity with new bands starting up, or it just could be new bands starting up all the time. But there certainly is a lot of it out there.
Are there any plans for you and Marty Tippins to play out anytime soon?
Well, you never know. You just never know. That's about the best I can say about that. We rehearse. We keep our chops up. we shall see. If the CD gets released next year, there could very well be some performances locally, at least. But like I say, you never know. I've always got a project going of some kind, so who's to say?
Well, you very recently put out the fourth edition of your illustrated discography of surf music. What was the research method used to compile the data for the book?
Oh, research method. I'm your basic geek record collector, you know, so I've been doing this for so many years, and the source material for this book is essentially my record collection. You know, since the last edition of this book was published, I haven't stopped collecting this music, and the last edition certainly was not complete, and I don't think the current edition is complete as well. So the research continues. Ultimately, there probably will be a fifth edition.
Okay.
So it's a matter of collecting the music, and as I get new records that I haven't collected before from the 60s, that information then goes into the database that I use to compile the book. So it's and then information comes from other sources too. We have the internet now, so that has provided a fair amount of information over the years as well from other people who are also geek record collectors that that know people or have records that I don't have. So.
Okay. There's some significant differences between this edition and the third. Would you like to go into those?
Well, it's bigger, of course. That's the most obvious. There are more listings than the last one. But probably the biggest difference between this edition and the last one is that this one's all color. This time I decided to show all the record labels and the album covers in color. And a lot of the posters and other ephemera appears in colors for the first time.
It looks great. The layout and the colors are very sharp. When did you start collecting surf albums?
Early 60s. Yeah. That's when I bought Dick Dale's records for the first time, and the Challengers. I mean, I was in high school in the early 60s. Very much into surf music, living in Southern California at the time. So, yeah, all my allowance was spent on buying records. I still remember the exact store where I bought a copy of Mr. Moto by the Bel-Airs. I remember exactly where that was. So,
which
memories are interesting.
Which store was it?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the store, but I know where it was. It was in Pomona, California, in a shopping mall next to a Sears, a store.
Was there a particular record or just moment where it changed from maybe liking surf music to loving surf music, wanting to play surf music?
You know, for me, I think it was almost that way from the very start. And the reason why was because I had just started learning how to play the guitar a year or two before surf music hit. And I was living in Southern California and in high school, so I mean, I had everything going for me, the right place at the right time, and learning how to play guitar. And surf music, the original form was instrumental, and it was guitar driven, so it was a lot easier for me to practice my guitar and learn how to play the guitar better by listening to surf records. They were instrumental and they were guitar led, so I've told Dick and others over the years that he and the Fireballs and the Ventures were my early guitar teachers, although they never knew it at the time.
This was obviously predated the Ventures. Play guitar with LPs a few years. You said you remember the store where you bought Mr. Moto. Which was the first album or single you bought within the genre?
This probably Moto. I remember buying Dick Dale's first album. I remember buying the Challengers' first album, and that was all late 62. I was in that frame of mind. I was in that mode. It was the thing to do. I enjoyed the music. I really liked it, so I bought the records.
How much of the John and the Night Riders catalog has drifted out of print?
All of it. Except for this last CD reissue, Stampede, it's still in print. That just came out last year, but essentially all of the CDs and vinyl that we recorded prior to that have all gone out of print, as far as I'm aware.
Now, you reissued Stampede not too long ago. Mm-hmm. What brought that about?
Greg Russo, who has this record label in New York, Crossfire Publications, I think he calls the label. I had started up a conversation with him at one point. I don't remember exactly how we connected, but the subject of the John and the Night Riders catalog came up, and he just mentioned to me that he wanted to reissue some of our material that hadn't seen the digital light of day yet, and Stampede was the first choice, so I simply arranged with him to put it out. He liked the band, and that album had never been reissued on CD before, so he took it upon himself to do that. That came out last year.
Are there plans to reissue some of the other?
Yeah, Greg wants to do the same thing with some of our earlier catalog as well. I don't own the rights to a lot of our material, but some of it I do. And so of the material that I have the master tracks for that I own the rights to, we're going to try and release some of that next year for the first time.
Is there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about going into this?
Yeah, let's talk for a minute about the movie that I'm working on.
Sound of the Surf.
Sound of the Surf, yeah. This is a movie that I'm co-producing with Tom Duncan, who's directing the film. We've been around for about a year and a half now at this point. The film has just gone into post-production as we speak, which is early December. And we're hoping to have it out perhaps next summer. It is the story of surf music. It's being filmed in high definition. It's going to look gorgeous. And we've got interviews with a number of people, the names of whom would be well known to people listening to this, and some of the names might not be that well known, but we hope to come up with a documentary that tells the story of surf music as it unfolded in the 60s and do it in an entertaining way that will hold people's interest for an hour and a half. So it's it has a lot of promise, and that's about all I can say right now. We don't even have an initial rough cut yet. We're getting there. But Sound of the Surf. Soundofthesurf.com.
Can you give us sort of a teaser of some of the footage from the 60s that you guys were able to unearth for this?
Let me just say that that this film, this documentary, will have footage in it that that people haven't seen before. It will have... let me just leave it at that. I just don't want to go into too much detail right now. There will be things in here that people haven't seen before. Put it that way. There will be some things that a lot of people have seen before, but my guess is that the majority of the film will be footage that most people haven't seen before. Some of it will be vintage, archival material from the 60s. Most of it will be interviews with various and sundry celebrities.
Well, thanks for taking your time to chat with us today.
More than happy to do so. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much to John Blair for giving us such a terrific interview, and also to Warren Binder for asking all those great questions. That beautiful tune we just heard following the interview was actually an unreleased track, Adventures in Paradise, one of John Blair and Marty Tippin's recent collaborations. And just to keep the treats coming for you here, I'm going to start off this next set with some brand new music. This first track is from Austin, Texas band The Thunder Chiefs, with a tune from their upcoming release, The Interstellar Sounds of the Thunder Chiefs. In keeping with our space theme, this tune is called Dark Matter.
We'll be right back.
We started off that set with Dark Matter by the Thunder Chiefs, followed by a brand new song called Space Encounter from Swedish trad surf band The Surfites. That's off their latest release on Double Crown Records entitled Escapades in Space. After that, we heard Space Mission No. 12 from Swiss band Stereophonic Space Sound Unlimited. That's off an album called Stereophonic Space Sound Unlimited Plays Lost TV Themes. And the last song we heard was Space Probe by first wave band The Shantaes. Next up is a true surf classic, written by Joe Meek and made famous by British band The Tornadoes. The song is called Telstar, and this version is from 1964, as performed by classic first wave surf band The Challengers.
Thank you. previously on Earth. There first had to be hundreds of millions of protein molecules of the ninth configuration.
That last song was Polaris from a band called The Boys. That's off an album called Instrumental Diamonds, 1961 to 1964. Before that, we heard the Challengers version of Telstar. And that was followed by Space Spade from Japanese surf band The Surf Coasters. That was off their CD, Surf is Dead. And after The Surf Coasters, we heard the amazing Configuration No. 9 from Man or Astro Man. That comes off their Deluxe Men in Space album. Okay, space comrades, while the next song has got an utterly ridiculous name, it also happens to be a kick-ass tune. This is Santa Claus in Space from Japanese Aleki band The Blue Horizon.
T-minus 15 seconds. seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Thank you.
started off that set with Santa Claus in Space from the Blue Horizon. After that, we heard the Space Cossacks' fabulous song, Beyond the Third Star. That's off their album entitled Star Wars. After that, we heard a couple of classic 1960s space surf songs. The first was Moon Race by Milwaukee, Wisconsin band The Citations. And that was followed by The Rocket Man from Swedish instro group The Spotniks. All right, time for a few more adventures here in space before we turn our ship back towards planet Earth. The next song is Mystery Planet by the Bomboras. The last song we just heard was Blast Off by Mickey Aversa. That's off a compilation album called Surf Creature. We started off that set with Mystery Planet from a CD called Head Shrink and Fun by LA band The Bomboras. After that, I gave you Moon Racers from classic first wavers, The Preps. And finally, we heard Attack of the Robot Atomico from fantastic SoCal band, The Ghastly Ones. Well, comrades, it's time for me to bring you back down to Earth now. I hope you enjoyed our little excursion into outer space, and that when we land, you'll be sure to visit surfguitar101.com and visit the podcast forum, so you can tell me which songs or bands you personally like the best. Now, as we begin to enter our atmosphere, I'll leave you with the shimmering memory of our journey. Here's Sea of Stars from Brighton, England, instro experimental band Vibersonic. So, until we meet again, surf music fans, this has been Lady Reverb. Hope you'll keep your music alive, the love in your heart, and that reverb tank in good working order.
Yeah.